this. Awesome. Right, okay. We are live. Hi. So welcome back, guys, to the Chris Wall podcast. I've got Luke today. Say hi, Luke.
Hello, everyone. Hope you're well.
Awesome. So the reason why I chose Luke to be on the podcast, ladies and gents, is, well, I'll be honest, he's got a really good speaking voice. That's one of
No way.
many reasons why. And obviously for us, well, a little bit to do with fitness, I guess. So what I'm going to do, Luke, is I'm just literally going to take the stage to you and say, introduce yourself. Who are you? What made you you? And
Okay.
why should we listen to you? Pressure.
Wait a minute. I know that is a lot of pressure, Chris. I wasn't expecting
Pressure.
this. My name is Luke Gillam. I've been in the fitness industry now for 4 years after leaving my employment in the engineering industry. I quit my job, went and did a 6 week PT qualification, which is, seems very short, but it was quite in depth, 5 days a week. Started Pure Gym. And I've been B2B ever since. Back to basics represents my thought process and my message to everyone. So one of my main drivers to getting into the fitness industry was helping to educate people, but about this the most simplistic forms before they went on and did more complicated stuff. I know you're very in depth with the studies that you do. But the audience and the message I try and convey is try and learn the basics first, understand the basic fundamentals of your training and your nutrition and your lifestyle and how your body works. And then you can take the knowledge that you've gained from this basic level and push that going forwards and develop yourself as much as you possibly want. Why should people listen to me? I don't know,
A
Chris.
harsh
They
question,
don't, it is a harsh question. It's a tough one. They don't need to. I think I've got a lot of sense to speak. I mean, I talk a lot of garbage sometimes as well, but like yourself, I try and portray the facts first. Then I'll add a little bit of my own personal opinion because the facts don't always correlate with someone's opinion and how it works for them. And
yeah,
then I
fair.
tell them to go and do it themselves. I think independence is a massive thing of it. So yeah,
Yeah, brilliant.
hopefully someone can take something from it today.
Nah, brilliant. You say he was an engineer. What was that like back in the good old days? Was it 9 to 5, or was it like certain times, or was it just like...
So I left school and went straight into it. So I went straight into work. And it was a definite paradigm shift from sort of getting up at like 7, half 7 and walking to school, which is literally only 5 minutes away from my house, to getting up at like 5:45 in the morning as a 16-year-old and getting a train from Formby, where I live, into Manchester, which is about a 2.5 hour journey there. And then obviously once you'd finish work, you'd have to go all the way back. For a lot of, I mean, if I'd have been utilized a lot more, I felt undervalued, which is one of the reasons why I left my job. I think if I'd have maybe been made to feel more valuable, I could have stayed. But yeah, I felt undervalued, and it just wasn't me. And I think the reason a lot of us are in the fitness industry, I don't think you can get into it if you don't care. And I didn't care about my old job. I couldn't care less, which was stupid. Like, why was I doing something I didn't care about? Whereas now, we, as a group of people who look after people to a certain extent, do it because we care and we want to try and make an impact. So it wasn't great. It wasn't great.
So you went from that to waking up even earlier to get to a gym for like 6 a.m.
I know, yeah, it's even early now, but it doesn't feel like a job. So I'm the weirdo that sets his alarm like 1.5 hours before he needs. I mean, I only live a 20-minute drive away from Pure Gym. But I'll get up if I've got a client at 6. I'll get up at 4:30. Make my breakfast, have a nice coffee, ease myself into the
See,
day then.
that's so me, because when I used to work shift work in Total Fitness, I used to have to be in by 5:30. And everyone used to think I was so weird by waking up at like 4 o'clock just to feel okay, just have a coffee and just to
Hell yeah.
be human. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Nah, but also obviously you made that change over to the PT, and here you are today. Do you know what? The way you said then over like, oh, you explain the studies and the heavy research. But I think sometimes what people do need is sometimes just strip it back to basics. And just literally take it back to the start and start, doing the things that you like to teach and that you pretty much you speak a lot about. And I think sometimes people forget or go head over heels on the complex stuff and then forget the basic stuff. You know what I mean? So, like, obviously the water, the tracking, the calories, and the literally basic things. So what was your thought process to, obviously you mentioned briefly then, but what was your thought process of the back to basic stuff?
So funnily enough, I can remember these things really clearly. So funnily enough, I was driving home one time from work, and I was sorting out my own training and nutrition plan. And again, I used to read my own studies to try and benefit myself through training. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, man, I'm totally confused. Like, should I be doing an upper lower split, or should I be having rest days on this day, and all these factors? And then I started to think, okay, well, I'm someone who treats this as like a passion and a hobby. So how the hell is Joe Bloggs supposed to understand what's the first step he's supposed to take? If I'm confusing myself, and I'm someone who deems himself relatively educated in that sort of arena. So, I knew from that point I wanted to keep things basic, and I was initially going to call myself AE Fitness, and the A and E, that's how stupid it was. AE stood for Adam and Eve, because I knew I wanted it to be like this very simple. I wanted it to be simplistic and like true. So I thought, oh, the first two people, they were Adam and Eve. Let's keep it Adam and Eve Fitness. And the slogan for that, I know it sounds pretty stupid, the slogan for that was take things back to basics. And funnily enough, someone who I went and did my PT course with, she was like, why don't you just call yourself Back to Basics? And I was like, you know what? That sounds a little bit better. It's a bit easier. So then Back to Basics was then shortened to B2B. So
you know what? I would have kept the Adam and Eve. That was pretty cool name.
Well, the logo was a tree with a man sat facing one way and a female sat facing the other way. I think I've got it in a book upstairs somewhere. I was scribbling all morning, and I was like, yeah, but I put A&E Fitness, and I thought that's not great, because people are just going to think of accident and emergency, which I don't want to associate myself with.
You train with me, you're going to need A&E.
I know, yeah, train with me, go to A&E. That should have been the slogan. But that's where Back to Basics came from.
Nah, do you know what? I think that's a quite, almost like a niche. Mm-hmm. Almost like a niche. It's like it's not getting too versed up in the complexities, which people oftentimes get too confused about, I think. And you worry about it too much. But no, I like that. You really took it seriously. I think even that is a far more advanced approach than what most trainers these days do. You know, mm-hmm. most trainers these days, they don't give a shit what the business is called. They don't give a shit what type of message they perceive. They just want to train people like they train themselves and then let them go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So the fact that you've done that is brilliant.
Similar to how I didn't want to interject. It's just fine. From when I went from doing what I was doing to doing this, I had to make the set. And I try and portray that sometimes in the messages and posts I put out there, is me going from an employed status where everything was cushy and comfortable in engineering to something where you now work for yourself and you have to market yourself. That chunk of education that I put into in between, and I still do, and the likes of you still do, we educate ourselves, is people have to do, if they want to try and benefit themselves physically and learn more about nutrition, they have to take that time to get stuck into that a bit of information and educate themselves slightly. But I didn't try and overcomplicate my own education, so I'm trying to keep this as basic as possible.
No, that's fair play. Enjoy. If you master the basics, then you're pretty much way ahead of the usual game, aren't you? So that's brilliant. Yeah. Was looking before on your Instagram, and I was just like, I was being a bit of a stalker, to be honest. I was literally scrolling, as people do. And I think you mentioned this before as well. I hope you don't mind me saying, you went through a little bit of like a bulking and cutting stage, didn't you?
Yo, yeah, flipping it. Yeah. I looked like a potato this time last year.
you had the one that started the most was the one with the man bun.
Chris.
I had to go on and I would just have a little nose there, but taken from that, like the whole I've done it before as well, like the whole I've done a dirty bulk in the past when it was cool.
That was
you know, or the McDonald's fast food, it's like gains, everything that's going into gonna turn to muscle and it's all good. So what was your experience through bulking, and what was your experience and through cutting? And explain them both if you can.
Okay, cool. Well, hopefully this will help out some of the people to listen, because they might think like they're lost in it. Like for me, I'd never ever pushed myself calorically. So I'd never ever done a dirty bulk. And when I used to do bulks, I was like, oh, I'll go up to like 3,000 calories. And I didn't want to go any further than that because I got a bit scared. And I don't know what it was this time. Maybe it was the man bun sort of control in my brain. I don't know what was going on. I don't know what was going on back then, Chris. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to commit to getting some good strength behind me because I was into my compound lifts back then. I just benched, deadlift, squat, and then some accessories around that. And I was just like, I'm going to commit to the calories and I'm not necessarily going to track them. And you can see that I didn't do that because I just put on excess body fat. My strength was there, but I definitely put on too much excess body fat. Obviously, body fat comes as part of your surplus and your gaining.
Yeah.
But you can do that strategically and you can do it quite slowly. So my experience of that was because I wasn't tracking and I couldn't quite tell where I was at, I had no understanding of how much of a surplus I was eating. And because I was eating, I'm abbreviating this, by the way, people, if you can't see it, dirty foods, it was a lot easier to get these calories in. So I never really felt too full. And yeah, I just let that go a little bit too far, my friend. It was too much.
We've all done.
And and I think that if you don't learn from practically making mistakes, then you don't really get a real sense of what making a mistake feels like. Everyone will do it. And they might look at us and go, oh, Luke, you're a PT. Why did you gain so much body fat? Or why were you so big at that time? And you go, well, at that time, like you said, I'd committed to doing a dirty bulk. So I wanted to see anatomically how it affected me anyway. My strength went up, don't get me wrong. And my recovery was, but like my recovery was incredible. I could have probably lifted like twice a day, every day, but I didn't. But I felt that added weight, like, and after you speak to other people who have been at a heavier weight and then come back down, and I'm not talking about like obesity, but I mean like training wise, how they feel, the way they train, like walking upstairs, I could feel myself at the top of the stairs. And I was like, flipping heck, I've never been able to feel my own body weight whilst I'm climbing up these stairs. So I really started to feel sluggish and was like, oh, I don't like this. And my experience of cutting in the past, again, I've made stupid mistakes. So rewind the clock sort of, I don't know, 4 years ago. If I was doing a cut, I'd eat like 2,000 calories a day and just do a load of cardio and was like, oh, yeah, I'm lean. Yeah. But I just wouldn't have any face. I'm like, yeah, I'd be tired all the time.
Yeah, so I've never really... back and it's quite jaunt, I think. You can see the jawline.
Yeah, I've never really done a cut properly in that sense, personally, on my own. I've got a coach now, so I'm a lot more in control, and I really enjoy that. What's the word I'm looking for? Having someone to...
accountability.
That's the one. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
I like having that accountability now.
Yeah, same here. I think, especially as, you know, as us two coaches, PTs, we're spending so much time in and on our business. When it comes to our training, our dieting, we just want to sort of offload that a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think if you want to take your own, you know, fitness and diet seriously, and if you believe in coaching yourself, you will get a coach. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that's quite important.
And you hit the nail on the head there, Chris. That's exactly what it was. It was, like you said, we have our own clients. We have these hours in the gym that we pull, and it's nice to sometimes just look at your phone and you can go, okay, that's what I'm doing today. That's what I'm eating.
Yeah.
No thoughts.
Like you can just clock off. It's brilliant. So yeah, that's your whole experience with the whole bulking and cutting. If anyone wants to go and look at his Instagram, I'll put the link in the show notes and you can just scroll down and see his man bun.
Yeah, scroll down and look at what I was with the
you pulled it off. You looked like some I don't know, it was like some jacked fucking like jacked dude in a man bun.
I was like a Samoan, a New Zealand rugby player.
that's what I was looking for. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Epic, man, epic. So so moving away from fitness and nutrition for a bit and just going off a few of the tangents. And obviously, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see that Luke's wearing a SpaceX cap. Yes, and this guy is fascinated with Elon Musk, with Tesla, with... even like space. And I just wanted, again, I think you quite like talking about Tesla and Elon Musk anyway,
but yes.
Just tell me, when did you start to like, not like be fascinated with him, but when did you start to follow it, if that makes sense?
Yeah. No, absolutely. So very, very start of my entrepreneurial journey, if that's what you want to call it, or if you'll allow me to call it that. I started reading books and I started to look up to these entrepreneurs, these businessmen, and see what they'd done. And I came across Elon Musk's book, the one that's written about himself. And I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. So I read his book, and I would highly advise any of you, it's not a massive book, so you could go through it in like a week. Well, I read quite slow. Someone could probably do it much quicker than that. And you listen to how hard this man has worked and what he works for and his mindset and his personality and his motives. It inspires you to be like, you know what, when I complained about getting up early for that client, or I didn't finish in the gym at 8 o'clock at night, you put things into perspective and go, this dude like really, really works hard for the betterment of humanity. And I don't feel that we see that much these days, because we are a lot of people in the fitness industry. I know Elon Musk's not in the fitness industry, but in the fitness industry, a lot of popular people, I feel, are tied with selling something or promoting something, which is fine. Whereas what motivates me and makes me appreciate this guy for what he does is his motivation is to better himself and humanity. Like, one of his actual real goals is to have a manned space flight, which through SpaceX, to Mars. And you just think, like, this man is setting his goals so high that you think, like, flipping it, it's exciting to be a human. And I think sometimes we forget that, like, we can go out there and do these incredibly amazing things. And personally, I was someone who was never interested in I know it sounds really mean, people are going to be like, oh, Luke, you're not a very nice person. I wasn't really interested in the environment that much. I was like, oh, my grandkids will look after it. And I was like, I liked petrol cars and I liked the noise of them, and I've loved cars for years. But then his Tesla, if you don't know, Tesla is a fully electric car company.
It's a nice car.
Yeah, they don't sell anything other than electric cars. And that is the mission, to obviously help clear up the environment, reduce CO2 emissions, make human beings more sustainable going forwards. And since then, I'm like, I'm never buying a petrol car ever again. I've still got my Ford Focus, which I haven't got rid of yet. but at some point, I will have that Tesla. But it's just a benchmark he sets himself and the expectations of us as humans to want to better ourselves. And then that can be converted down to being, okay, if I'm physically training, there is nothing stopping any of you, any of your listeners or any of your followers, Chris, or mine, from going, you know what, I do want to look like that. And the only thing that is going to slow me down is how hard I am willing to work. Like, you're going to have off days, you're going to have rubbish days, but if you work really hard and you've got your eyes set on something, then you can flip and go for it, because what he does on his own and what he's committed to doing has just been like outstanding. And I get excited because he's doing exciting stuff that people didn't believe that he could do. And it just makes you think, when people go like, ah, one of his rockets like crashed initially, they go, yeah, but he's not like that's, it doesn't affect anything about him, because he goes, oh, we go again, we learn from the mistakes last time. So even if you're not into electric vehicles or you don't care about space, you can take a lot of his mindset into what you do and the people who want to change their lives aesthetically and their health and well-being, and go, flipping it, the only, like, doesn't matter what anyone says or whether they think I've lost too much or I looked better way back then. It's got nothing to do with them. It's how hard you can keep going in the direction that you want to go.
Yeah, I completely agree. And Joe, I feel motivated now you're saying that. I feel so motivated saying that. That's not on your bloody hell. You should be I think you should have your own podcast, man. That's brilliant. Yeah, I agree. I think we can all extrapolate from that, that attitude that Elon Musk had, that work ethic. It's almost like you're, if you want to compare it to someone in the fitness industry it's going to be Dwayne Johnson, I think.
Yeah.
It's such a hard work and work ethic that, you know, he has time off, no days off and all that, but it's about making the world and wherever you leave behind a better place. Do you know what I mean? I think there's a quote as well. I think it's by Ross Edgley. That is, the hard work is always the answer. The question is often irrelevant.
Yeah.
So I think many people should take that from Elon Musk that his work ethic, his attitude to working, and yeah, you'll fail sometimes. But I think the main important thing is you need that failure to make it carry on, to make it better. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, as you probably know with his projects and stuff. So have you heard anything on Neuralink?
Neuralink. The most recent update, I watched the live stream back in, I think it was October. I haven't heard any of their recent updates, but unless you've got something to update me on, the people, if they don't know what Neuralink is either, he's inserting a computer chip in theory into your brain. So that you can...
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. So you can interact with stuff without having to actually interact with it. So for instance, mobile phones, in theory, he wants to be able to... I mean, I think a lot of people, again, are going to get tripped up over the mission of that. So his mission, and I've just said it incorrectly as well, his mission is to not put a chip in our head so that we can just turn the telly on by looking at it and waving at it. It's to fix people who have neurological conditions which cause them to suffer from disabilities. So they might not be able to move their legs. And the reason they can't move their legs is because they've got a poor neurological connection somewhere. So then that chip that they've had inserted into their brain can overtake the biological process with a artificial process. And he can then hopefully allow these people to walk, speak again, see again, hear again, because he's filling those synapses that are no longer being able to fire with artificial firings by the actual chip itself.
It's like people who have like epilepsy, you can like sort of stop epileptic seizures before they become a thing, or you can stop it in real time. So I think that would be a fascinating step for people who do have neurological diseases, and it'd be so interesting to watch that come into fruition. He said, didn't he, about 5 to 10 years time?
Yeah, it's insane. It's an insane, but that it's an exciting world that we live in, because these things are just, they are on the horizon. And you think back, if we go back 10 years and we go, oh, you're going to have a computer chip in your head at some point where you can, well, I know that, again, that's not the mission, but you could fix someone's disability. You just think, no way, we're not doing that. Yeah. And it's now we're actually on sort of the precipice of this becoming a reality now.
It's crazy, it's madness, but I think it's so fascinating. He speaks a lot of it on, have you listened to the Joe Rogan podcast with him on?
Oh, religiously, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That is amazing. I think, is it two or is it one? Because he gets high on one, doesn't he?
Yeah, so the first one was the one that was a little bit controversial for his sort of shareholders, because they were like, Elon, you can't be smoking weed on a podcast. Where he was, it was completely legal to do so. And that, again, is why I appreciate him, because he always says... he's an engineer before he's a businessman. So he isn't just himself. He will not pretend to be someone else because someone else tells him to be. So he was a guy who went on a podcast, smoked a bit of weed, and I think he had some whiskey or whatever it was. But it just turns out that he owns Tesla, owns SpaceX, owns the Boring Company, owns Neuralink. So all these people who work with him are a bit like, and steady on Elon.
What I liked about him as well. Exactly. What I liked about him as well is like he's a multi trillionaire, and you see the way he dresses, and he just dresses like a normal bloke. He doesn't wear suits, doesn't wear like what's his name, Jeff Bezos. He wears suits, and he's like a real cut man, and you can tell like he looks after himself. And there's Elon in a pair of jeans and a top.
No.
Such a legend. Oh,
he's a funny dude, our Elon. Yeah,
he is. I like the way he speaks though as well. It's quite, even though his conversations, he pauses quite a lot, doesn't he, before he speaks.
Yeah, a lot of people say his reasoning behind that is because he can't quite put it simply enough to the person interviewing him. But I think sometimes he sometimes just suffers with a little bit of social communication. Mm. But like you said, it's the awkwardness that again just makes me laugh, because he'll be talking and then says something dead awkward. I know again this is off topic, but if you've never seen the interview that he does with Jack Ma, which is a guy who owns Alibaba, which a lot of people might have heard of, it's like the Chinese Amazon. He does an interview with him, and it's hilarious. Just go and watch it.
I'll have to go and watch that. Sort of the same topic, space.
Yep.
And I'm quite glad that someone else is quite fascinated with space. Now, I think I'm not don't think I'm that versed up, but it's just the space itself fascinates me quite a bit. And I wanted to ask you some of your favorite factor space or random factor space, just an off topic one.
Oh God, have I got to come up with the facts? Because I might not be that switched on when it comes to it. Well, the biggest one really, and this will tie into the fitness podcast. I hope I haven't dulled a few of the people who usually listen to this.
No, that's fine.
One fact, so going back to Elon, his main mission is to become a multi-planetary species through SpaceX. But then one factor that we definitely have to take into account, which I don't hear from him, so I'll be intrigued to see what sort of support team they put together for this, is the physiological effects of space travel. Because if we do intend to be a multi-planetary species, as we are going through space and we land on Mars, their gravitational field isn't as strong as ours. So we're going to suffer muscularly and skeletally, because one, we'll get bone degradation because there's not as much gravity, and muscle atrophy as well. So we're going to suffer from actually losing muscle mass because there's not as much resistance from doing day-to-day stuff. So again, thinking going forwards for a field of fitness and well-being, it's going to be super interesting to see the developments of, okay, how are we going to cope physically with a reduced pressure from gravity? Like, how are we going to be able to sustain strength? How are we going to sustain bone density and muscle density? So that's super interesting. There's going to be a base on the moon by like 2024 or six, I think.
Yeah, it's
super exciting. Interesting. I don't necessarily have any space facts for you. I don't want to sort of make it seem like I'm some sort of absolute genius when it comes to like aeronautical engineering. But the interest is purely just the development of the human race. That's what interests me, and seeing the strides that we're making to go forward. And I, like, again, like going back a few years, just when I was doing engineering, I just wasn't excited. I was like, what do I get excited about? What do I feel that we're doing that makes me proud as a human race? Because all we ever hear is negative news, really. But to hear this is, it's epic. And to be able to watch it live, it's amazing.
Yeah. Do you think, like, obviously weight training and resistance training will have a big part in like years to come when we start, we'll potentially start to colonize Mars and start to...
Well, it's going to have to be, because if we are intending to build out these cities and civilizations on different planets, because we're probably going to run out of resources on this planet because we haven't thought clearly enough. We're going to have something, because it's a 9-month trip, I think, to Mars. But you'd stop off at the moon to set up a base there, refuel, and then carry on. But in all that time, and I was reading a study up on it the other day on PubMed on the internet, and I can't remember the percent. I think it was about 80% of your, what was it? It's escaped my head now. But the degradation of your plasma, sorry, that was it, inside your blood, is reduced dramatically. I think half or three quarters within your first 24 hours in outer space. So you think, if you're on a 9-month trip and then you're living on this planet that's got a reduced gravitational field, you need to be able to sustain normality. So we're going to have to think of some sort of resistance training. And it can't be weights, because obviously that's pointless when you fly into Mars, because they're just going to float around. So I was discussing with one of the other PTs, Matty, about using, like, not resistance bands, don't get me wrong. These would have industrialized, but some sort of elasticated material, because that wouldn't, I don't think it would lose its elasticity. Space. So you could utilize a leg press or a bench press. And I know these aren't necessary things, because people think like, oh, why do you need a bench press if you're just trying to stay fit and healthy? But that is to ensure that your muscle mass is strong enough to withstand these things.
Mm. So people working on now from resistance bands, don't feel so bad, because years to come, they'll be getting used in space. Epic one. No, I love that. A few more points I've written down here, and it's not even much of a point. It's like an observation of your character in the past, or now, sorry, is Crocs.
Yes.
So Crocs. What's the deal?
If I'm entirely honest, Chris, I did it. Well, no, to be fair. So I had a pair of slides that were about 6-7 years old, and they were a bit mangy, and they were turned up like a banana like this. But I still used to wear them. I get like emotionally connected. I think a lot of people do to like old pairs of trainees or like old t-shirts. I don't know what it is, but it always becomes like your favorite. And these are my favorite slides. And I was like, I think it's about time I get a new pair. And I was just looking on the internet, and I'm not one for brands. I don't really care about them and stuff like that. But I saw some Crocs advertised, and I was, I'm the type of person to do something just to seem like the fool. And I'll do it just to make other people laugh, because at least it gives them something to laugh about. And as much as they probably think like Luke, they're disgusting, it's going to bring them a little bit of cheer in their day. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy some because I've heard they're super comfortable. And I just needed some. Tell you what, they are my favorite pair of shoes. I don't know what you call them. They are my favorite footwear that I currently own. It's just a bit of fun. They're just all black. They're dead comfy. And I train in them in the home, and it's boss. And I will one day train in them in the gym, so be ready for that.
Man, I think when we go back to the gym, you can just train in anything, and people will be okay with it. So
yeah, exactly. Everyone will be happy to be back. Yeah, I will. First day back, we get these gyms reopened. I'm going to wear my Crocs to training.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, I'll do it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll probably get kicked back out, but...
Nah, I'll be fine. If people want to laugh, you can laugh. Exactly. Nah, exactly. Happy days. So yeah, just a few more, obviously a few more points. You said mm-hmm. you've read some books in the past, and
yeah,
probably Elon Musk's book being number one. What are your top three books to read, fitness or not?
Amazing. So I must admit, I don't, as much as I'm involved, and this is one thing I was actually going to do a post on today, in my own channel, is I don't involve myself massively in, and I don't want to sort of, I don't know how to separate it. You've got like the fitness industry, and then I'd argue they've got like sort of the scientific fitness industry. Mm. I don't read any fitness, or I don't really follow many fitness influencers per se. I will follow quite a lot of bodybuilders who do weight training and bring out their own sort of scientific research. So reading wise, I don't read that many training books or anything like that. But the books I bought were for my mindset, because I did have a fixed mindset back in the day, and I was quite negative on my outlook, and I was a bit of a pessimist as opposed to an optimist, and I was a dreamer, not a doer. So my first book I ever read, obviously post-school, I read books in school, was Success Through a Positive Mental Attitude. And you can get it on Amazon for like £9. And that changed my life. And I know that sounds so stupid. And I know a lot of people say that about The Secret. And personally, I've read The Secret. Well, personally, I've read the first paragraph of The Secret. Personally, not for me. If someone loves it, that's cool. Again, they're entitled to their own opinion. Success Through a Positive Mental Attitude was the first book I read. And it just changed my life. It changed my viewpoint. It opened my eyes as to what was possible when you actually work really hard at something. So if you're looking for a new book, guys, out there, as a self-help book, Success Through a Positive Mental Attitude is a definite go-to. Really, really good. I then also bought, straight after that, Think and Grow Rich. Now, that's a financial book.
I think I've read that, I think.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, it's by Napoleon Hill, that one. I think it is by Napoleon Hill.
I'm thinking of Rich Dad Poor Dad, I think.
Oh, yeah, by, yeah. What's his name? I do know his name, can't think of it. I do have financial aspirations. So I wanted to educate myself about business and about money, because again, that was something that I didn't know, because I just got paid at the end of the month and I just spent it on, I didn't even know what I spent it on. I just spent it on Crocs. Stuff. And Crocs, yeah, like a lifetime supply of Crocs. Whereas now, after reading these types of books, so that's Success Through Positive Mental Attitude, Think and Grow Rich. And a third book, I'd say Elon's, we've already said Elon Musk's book. I did really enjoy Richard Branson's book as well, his autobiography. Right. I know a lot of people have mixed opinions on him as well, but what he's done with Virgin as a group and like as a message, I take my hat off to and say like that guy has nailed it, because how can someone be so successful in so many different industries, but then tie it together through one name? And obviously that's because of his branding, his work ethic, the message he portrays, the standards you expect. So yeah, I'd probably put them up there. Some of the other books I read were more like business-based books. So in regards to personal development, months, Success Through a Positive Mental Attitude, awesome, absolutely brilliant.
I'm going to recommend one for you. I think you quite like it. The way you said before about you had a fixed mindset. Have you read Mindset by Carol Dweck?
I haven't, no.
Oh, mate, recommend it.
I shall do. I'll make a note on the phone now. What's the lady's name?
Carol Dweck. She speaks about a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. And being like a fixed mindset is thinking like, oh, I'm never going to be successful. It's putting like a barrier in your way and thinking just short term, like you can't do a sort of thing. But a growth mindset is like failing and then going, okay, cool. I failed. So what I'm gonna do from that is I'm gonna learn what not to do in the future. You know, say if, for example, you went on a diet and you screwed up on week two.
Yeah.
From that you go, okay, maybe it was too restrictive, maybe it wasn't for me. Maybe I need to go back to the drawing board and just change a little bit. Mm-hmm. Whereas a fixed mindset would be like, after 2 weeks of failure, they'd be like, right, I hate dieting. Dieting's not for me. Fuck that shit.
Yeah.
So I think you quite like that. And anyone listening now, I think anyone listening to a podcast would like that book. Might be wrong. Who knows? I think it's £10 on Amazon. So if it's wrong, then I owe you a tenner.
I will get myself over there though and buy that, definitely. Thank you.
Epic one. And do you know what? It's been fucking brilliant. I quite enjoyed this episode, to be honest. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to close on a question that I ask quite a lot of podcast guests. It puts you on the spot quite a lot. And it will be, if you were on a desert island or a lonely desert island with £100, what would you do?
If I was with £100 on a desert island.
So if you were on a desert island, £100 to have whatever you wanted.
Oh, okay. I thought I had to try and escape.
You had nothing. You had no followers. You had nothing at all but your own knowledge. How would you, one, thrive, and two, escape?
Chris, I wasn't prepared for this. let me take a sip of my coffee and ready myself. £100 on an island, how would I thrive and then how would I escape? Maybe I could buy a book of how to build a raft and then build a raft to escape. £100, Chris. Can you give me an idea of what someone else said? Or is that ruining the game?
I think it's ruining the game.
Okay.
Anything at all. Could be anything.
I don't know. I'd buy a book. I'd buy a life-size cardboard cutout of Elon Musk. So every day I get up and it motivates me. I'd be like, yes, we can do this. And then, I don't know. If I was stuck on an island, I'd try and survive as best I could by eating whatever was there and building a boat and going out to sea. But to buy, I don't know. That's a terrible answer. I'm sorry, Chris. I don't know what I'd buy.
That is fine. Well. That is fine. I think the reason why I asked that, I think, is to get like people's creative minds going a little bit, those listening, just to see what they do. But nah, brilliant. Luke, you've been a pretty cool person to speak to, pretty cool guest. Any closing statements, any closing questions, anything to...
I would just like to say that I really appreciate you asking me on. And I think it's super cool that you do a podcast and you should continue to do them, which I'm sure you plan on doing anyway, but this is super cool. And to have the confidence to go out there and do one, because in the past I've been like, oh, maybe I should do a podcast.
I think you should.
But again, that's you taking action and you've gone and done it. And it's super cool to see. And your content is awesome. So
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm flattered to be asked to come on. I hope I haven't bored too many of the people who listen to you. And yeah, I just think what you're doing and where you're going is pretty awesome. So keep it up.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate that. And guys, if you want to find Luke, you can find him on Instagram on is a back to basics
it's,
now. I've changed,
it's
haven't
changed
you?
Now.
It's
yeah, changed. I updated it. So back to basics is had a bit of a revamp. You know what's silly? Ooh. I got some. I wasn't going to tell anyone, but it's sort of a little bit of a an exclusive on your podcast. I bought some new merchandise, so I should have flipping worn it here, but never mind. I'll just expose it. I know, why didn't I? Perfect time.
Could have plugged everything there. Could have plugged it.
I know. But yeah, it's on Instagram, it's at back_to_basics. But I think if you type in back to basics, it should come up. It's just it's just like a circle with B2B in it.
Yeah, sweet. And anywhere else we can find you? Was that it? Instagram?
Instagram, I've got YouTube, but that needs some redoing. So for the time being, I'm just an Instagram dude.
Cool. Guys, thanks for listening, and Luke, thanks for coming on, and thanks for your kind words as well.
It's all right.
Thanks, guys. See you the next one.